Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is Monday, 77 degrees out there. Beautiful afternoon. Hope you're out there enjoying it. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Andre Holgate. Thanks for joining us on WILS. On today's program, pro-choice advocates set to protest at the Capitol tomorrow as lawmakers get set to move a package of bills that Planned Parenthood says is the biggest assault on women's health in state history. I'll be joined by an organization official to explain. And if you're a baby boomer counting on an inheritance, well, it may not be coming, as money many are counting on is now being drained by their parents, especially after the Great Recession. I'll be joined by a family wealth advisor who was featured in today's Wall Street Journal article on this nationwide phenomenon. But first, charter school officials in Michigan are touting a new study that they say indicates that their schools are closing the achievement gaps between black and white students in urban districts like Detroit, Flint, and Lansing. Dan Quisenberry is the president of the Michigan Association of Public School Academies. He joins me now to tell us exactly what they discovered. Dan, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Michael, it's good to be here. Thank you.
Are most of Michigan's charter schools in urban districts?
You know, they just happen to be, but most of our kids are in urban districts in the state, so it's very proportionate.
Now, you were looking at the latest MEEP test results in this study. You're focusing on comparing results between the traditional and charter schools in urban areas. So tell me, just how much of a difference was there in math and reading proficiency scores between the two student groups?
Yeah, we're excited about the results in Lansing. Specifically, we saw 18 percentage point compared to 14 percentage point difference in gains, and a similar kind of difference, that's in math. And then in reading, we saw a similar difference. So, yeah, we saw great progress in the charter schools in not only Lansing, but Flint and Grand Rapids and in Detroit.
Now, you're saying in math there was an 18% proficiency rate for Lansing charter school students and 14% proficiency rate for traditional school students. I mean, that doesn't seem like a huge difference. Some would expect charters to maybe do a little better than that.
Well, we got the same kids, and so gains, differences like that, if you add them up year to year to year, really do make a difference over time. And so, yeah, it's a very important thing that is not happening in other kinds of schools when you see those comparisons. That's why we have this historical gap between kids basically in poverty or in urban districts compared to kids that are not.
So are these MEEP scores for charter schools, have they been going up year over year, or is this kind of a stable percentage point that you're seeing?
No, we've seen the historically charter schools are more likely to be proficient, more likely to have higher graduation rates, those kinds of things. But, yeah, as you dig down into subgroups, which are now required by the federal government, you track African-American students and things like that, you see that children that typically struggle have historically are doing much better in the charter school environment. So we're excited about that.
But what about the idea that students that are doing better at charters simply because their parents are generally more vested and interested in their education, which explains why they're in the charter school to begin with?
Well, it's a very important thing. We've been told historically that parents are an important part of the education process. So absolutely, a parent that has a choice that can find a school that best meets the student's needs, that's the right formula. That's what you want. But we certainly aren't getting the better parents or the better kids. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of creating that opportunity for people to be more engaged in their kids' education.
But basically, it could just be that the students are better students that are going to charters, not that the programs themselves are better, right?
Averages, we find kids coming to a charter school three grades behind in many cases. And know if you look at poverty or other kind of indicators that tend to correlate to low performance, we have all those numbers in excess, so beyond state averages. So no, we're not. Kids are coming because they have a need. Parents are choosing them because they see their children struggling, And what we're seeing in these numbers is that there's a response and they're making progress.
I'm talking to Dan Quisenberry, the president of the Michigan Association of Public School Academies. Now, Dan, we've heard a lot about concerns that charters, many of them are for-profit structures. But let me ask you about the actual what happens in the classroom. Can you describe maybe one key difference of what a charter school classroom environment is like as compared to an urban traditional classroom?
Yeah, the difference is that it meets the needs of the students in that school. And Michael, what that means is every school could be a little different. What we're finding, and experts are telling us in education across the spectrum, is that we have to individualize education to students' learning styles. So one of the things that you get in a charter structure is teachers and the building leaders are much more empowered. They can steer appropriately curriculum or address needs as the kids demand it.
Well, now, when you say empowered, though, because in an urban school, I mean, typically there can actually be an issue of simply lack of decorum where kids are not paying attention, talking, disrespecting a teacher. Are you saying in a chartered school, a teacher has more power to discipline a student, throw them out of the class, throw them out of the school?
No, what you've got, they have to operate by the same rules and regulations, but what you'll find, and you can do this when talking to teachers, is they get very frustrated. If they're being told to do certain things and it's coming from some central office, they may not even be aware of what's happening in this building. It takes time to respond. A charter is a building. It's a independent school building, and they're much more able to respond to the needs of kids on a day-to-day basis to set the culture, to feel like there's some uniformity in how they can address issues that come up like you're talking about. And it gives them more, the educators in that facility, more ability to do something with the issues that they face on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't make any of it easier, that's for sure, Michael. It's all a challenge.
Do teachers, though, in charter schools have more, would you say they have more power in the classroom itself to stop a student that's being disruptive and to either get them out of the classroom or take some kind of step to stop the process?
No, it's really what they say is, and I talk to teachers that have got years and years or decades of experience, that they feel more like a team in their building, that they've got some authority to get together, say, hey, here's some issues we're seeing, let's do this about it, and address students' needs. And that certainly involves engaging them in the learning process before disruption happens.
Now, when it comes to the financial resources and the way charters use them, how would you describe that as compared to the traditional schools, especially when you focus on, let's say, teacher salaries? I'm guessing less resources are used on teacher salaries, right?
No, not at all. Charter schools are funded differently, so they just get the per pupil foundation grant. They're not allowed to tax additionally for facilities and buildings, but they have to pay competitively or you can't hire good teachers. And scores like this aren't going to get produced if you got good educators in the classroom.
But are you saying, though, then you have many teachers that are coming from the traditional school with their unionized benefits and they're leaving that behind to go to a charter environment?
Some certainly choose to stay in the charter environment as opposed to being recruited away. You have to be competitive to keep a good quality teaching team.
And is it in terms of the use of the money in the classroom, because we hear that a lot, you know, how is the money actually being allocated in the classroom? Do charters, or can you explain how charters are using the money more effectively in a classroom than traditional schools are?
There's not a set formula there. It's a worthy research project that someone should take up because, yeah, what you're going to do, though, is, again, you've got to that autonomy at a charter school where they can say, here's the dollars that are available, how we best apply them to student learning. And obviously these scores are giving you results to say, hey, they're having an impact that's important and it's showing up in student performance.
Okay, now tell me then, what would you say is the number one reason, the number one, when you walk into a classroom, you see what's happening there, what is it about that charter school classroom that is resulting in these higher test scores, as you're saying?
Really is responding to the needs of the students in that building. And you could go to different classrooms and it would look differently, but that's because kids learn differently. So, yeah, the ability for the instructors in that class and that school building to be very responsive to student needs.
I see. But you have to admit, though, if you were to be forced as a charter to take on all the students, as many of the less disciplined students that the traditional schools are faced with, you might have some different results there.
No, not at all. We've got schools very much their purpose is to take kids that are at risk or have been struggled to find a place where they succeed. It's all a matter of, again, I'm not an educator, but the experts will tell you it's all a matter of what you do and how you respond to that and having some ability to do it, not having your hands tied. So we've got the same kinds of challenges, same kinds of special needs students, and it's a matter of creating the right environment where the professionals can do their job well and respond to the needs of kids.
I see. Finally, though, with a charter, what happens then if you have a student that is misbehaving? Do you ultimately have the ability to simply transition them back to the traditional school they would be going to?
This is the expulsion or discipline policies are the same for any kind of a public school. And yes, for the safety of other students, for the safety of the teacher, they do have the ability to discipline students or possibly suspend them. And then, a parent is left with then making choices about other schools that will take them. Sometimes they go to another charter school. Sometimes they may choose to go back to a traditional public. We may take kids that come from a traditional public that have gone through the same kind of mm-hmm. process.
Dan Quisenberry, president of the Michigan Association of Public School Academies. Dan, thank you so much for joining us on WILS this evening.
You're welcome, Michael. Have a good evening.
You too. Coming up next, a super bill, an anti-choice super bill is what Democrats and pro-choice advocates are calling it. Set to move forward at the Capitol. We'll talk about that next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.